It's the AmeriChicks with Kim Monson.
Now, while this is all going on, I went through President Trump's speech and Chuck and Nancy's rebuttal.
The most important story.
The American people finally said enough, and that is why they elected Donald Trump.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
It's almost unbelievable that Trump has extricated the U.S. from the Iran nuclear deal.
And opinions and ideas that prepare you to tackle the day ahead.
Because ideas matter.
It's the AmeriChicks, dissecting issues. Choose as right versus wrong instead of right versus left. Agree or disagree, let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Welcome to the AmeriChicks with Kim Monson, and let's have a conversation. My friends, we need to be talking with each other. We need to understand why we believe what we believe and then be able to articulate that with friends, family, and colleagues. So be sure and check out my website, AmeriChicks.com. Sign up for my emails. I will keep you apprised of all the upcoming guests, topics, and important events. I am the AmeriChicks on Facebook and Twitter as well, offering you a conservatarian perspective. Thank you to my team, producer Steve, social media guru Zach, SoundCloud expert Keith, and researcher Patty. All these people are working very hard. We're working to bring forth truth for you to arm yourself in this big battle of ideas. And speaking of big battle of ideas, last night was our Vino and Veritas Wine and Truth. Our study of the Federalist Papers was at Centennial's Water's Edge Winery. And Dr. Tom Kranewitter has put together a fascinating lecture series on the Federalist Papers because we need to know why we believe what we believe. And so Vino and Veritas Centennial, it's basically sold out. However, from time to time, we do have some extra tickets. So if you're feeling lucky, be sure and let us know. Email me at AmeriChicks.com/Kim. And we meet the fourth Monday of each month. And the great news is Vino and Veritas Castle Rock starts this next Sunday night. And so would recommend, again, that you go to go to AmeriChicks.com/Kim and let us know if you are interested in signing up for Vino and Veritas Castle Rock. And then we've had high demand up in northern Colorado, and we hope to get that one kicked off sometime in May. Our presenting sponsors in January at Water's Edge Winery was Harmony Ridge Construction, Rafe Patton and his whole team building homes and usually making friends in the process. February's presenting sponsor was Susan Kochevar. She's the owner of the historic 88 Drive-In Theater. And she will be opening April 5th with Shazam. And March's presenting sponsor last night was Heidi Gundahl and her Free to Be Coalition promoting free speech and diversity of thought on college campuses. So, again, if you'd like more information, if you'd like to be a presenting sponsor, go to AmeriChicks.com/Kim and fill out the form. So first thing, a little inspiration, and Helen Keller, many of you know her story, and you know, I think some of the younger people may not. She was born as a healthy child in Alabama in 1880, and her father's side was descended from a colonial governor of Virginia, and on her mother's side, she was related to a number of prominent New England families. The family was quite wealthy, and after the Civil War, the family lost most of their wealth, and they lived modestly. At the age of 19 months, Helen Keller became deaf and blind as a result of an unknown illness, and maybe it was rubella or scarlet fever. And as she grew from infancy into childhood, she became wild and unruly. And so would have you check out the movie The Miracle Worker. I know that a lot of kids are on spring break this week, and so that might be something good to do as a family. But Helen Keller, it's an amazing story. But she said, keep your face to sunshine, and you cannot see the shadows. And I think that that's a very inspirational word or words for us today. Regarding today's chuckles.
Oh, boy.
Steve, I know you're excited. Here's three phrases of wisdom, okay? For every action, there is an equal and opposite government program. Number two, if you like your passport picture, you probably need a trip. And number three, why is it that bills travel through the mail at twice the speed of checks? There you have it. Oh, Steve, that's so mean. Aw. Okay, let's jump into some headlines here. And then after that, we're going to start to focus in segments 2, 3, and 4. I have my good friend, patriotic historian, former Army Ranger, Ben Martin is in studio with me, and we're going to talk about the Federalist Papers. We're going to try to talk about 1 through 14 like we did last night at Vino and Veritas. But before we do that, there are a couple of headlines that I think you both are, that you all need to be aware of. First of all, Mitch McConnell is going to put the Green New Deal to a vote today, forcing Democrats to go on record. I think this is a very important, it's a political move in some ways, but I think it's so important, Steve.
The word ambivalent is a love-hate relationship with a topic, whatever. In this case, it's politics, and I am, you know, ambivalent. But I got to confess, this one I kind of like because it's hilarious to see how it's going to go down. Now, if my count is correct, there are six U.S. senators currently running for president: Booker, Gillibrand, Harris, Klobuchar, Sanders, and Warren. Now, the whole, right out of McConnell's mouth, I mean, the whole reason behind doing this is to get them on the record on the new Green Deal.
And what it looks like, though, is that many of them are going to vote present. Yeah, and that's no guts. You know, take a stand. Now, they're going to say that they don't know, you know, everything that's in there, but there's going to be a piece of legislation in front of them that they will be able to vote on. And when I was on city council, one of my first votes, I didn't quite agree with it. And I thought, well, I'll just vote present. And our city manager said, you have to take a stand. It's either yes or no. And I thought that was really, really good advice. So if they vote present, they're basically voting no.
All right. Well, again, there's so much drama present. The tweets that went out, from one from McConnell, the other one from AOC, not to be confused with Amy Oliver Cook.
The really smart,
The other AOC.
The original.
So McConnell says, I could not be more glad that the American people will have the opportunity to learn precisely where each one of our senators stand on the new Green Deal, a radical, top-down socialist makeover of the entire U.S. economy.
Well, and you know what? I think I said I misspoke. So the vote will either be yes or no. They may vote present. If they vote present, in essence, they are voting for the new Green Deal. And this is important to get this on record. Mm-hmm. And then we have to continue to dissect what this actual deal says and how it will affect the flourishing, the thriving, the prosperity of everyday Americans. And we need to be able then to articulate that with, you know, many young people think, you know, that sounds like a great deal, you know, protect the environment. But what's so interesting is many of these people that, quote, talk about protecting the environment, Al Gore, I mean, there's so many you can choose. The elites, they still fly around in their planes. They still turn on all their lights. They still, you know, drive around in, you know, motorcades full of cars. And so the point is if this was really true, if they really believed that we were having such an issue with climate change, then they would change what they're doing.
Their own behavior.
Yeah. So in essence, it doesn't matter or it's not true.
Well, then, not to be outdone, AOC tweets out, the GOP's whole game of wasting votes in Congress to target others on the record for legislation they have no intent to pass is a disgrace. Stop wasting the American people's time and learn to govern. Our jobs aren't for campaigning, and that's exactly what these bluff votes are for. Strange.
That's really interesting. When all that they have done for the last 2 years is with the Mueller investigation, instead of working on governing, they have had an agenda. In fact, now some of them are going to be, you know, working on impeachment instead of governing. So they say that they're there to govern, and they use that conveniently, but they're not at all.
You and I have discussed it. Last week we had the same discussion. As a citizen, I keep waiting now. I've been waiting for 30 years for government to do something good for me instead of good for themselves, instead of doing things that basically only ensure their next power grab. And, you know, here's another one. This is, you know, the Green New Deal has been tagged, you know, beyond the socialistic implications. This is nothing more for more government. So,
well, and when we talk about, Steve, and this is a great segue into talking about the Federalist Papers, when we talk about government doing something good for me, what that actually means is government should be out of the way. Government should make sure, you know, we used to call our police officers peace officers instead of law enforcement. And so keeping the peace, making sure that people are in an environment where they can go after their hopes and dreams. Government is supposed to be limited. And when we talk about doing something good for you, that is to try to hold the forces that want to take away your freedom, that want to have their hands in your pocket, to keep that limited. And as you mentioned, we have all these special interests that have now figured out how to use government to, to really stifle our prosperity, our ability to flourish and thrive.
I need maybe choose my words more carefully. That phrase, do something good for me, that's, I'm not talking about some kind of...
taking money from somebody else and giving it to
freebies,
you.
Freebies, just the fundamentals of government.
Right.
That are going by the wayside. I read another piece over the weekend about the precarious situation that Social Security is in. And why? Because of so much has been done to take away from it.
Well, yeah, the Social Security trust fund, basically, it was raided. And so there is no money there. And what we're now relying on is our young people to pay for the baby boomers. And the baby boomers have said, and I get this, they say, hey, I've paid in. The implication of them is that this has been a savings account for them. Well, the savings account was raided. And now we're looking to young people to actually backflow all of the money that the baby boomers are going to be taking out. And one other thing, Steve, is baby boomers, it's been the baby boomers generation that we've had Roe versus Wade. And basically, we have aborted a whole generation of young people. And these are people that actually now baby boomers wish that they were there so that they could pay for their Social Security. It's all very selfish and it's all very wrong.
What's the phrase? The chickens have come home to roost?
Yeah, they have. That's for sure. So I have one other headline, but I think what we'll do is we will go to break, and because it is an excellent segue into the subject of the Federalist Papers. But you're not going to believe this. There is a professor at CU Denver. He is a professor of American political thought, and he is removing all reference to all white men in the curriculum. So the Declaration of Independence is out. The Constitution is out. I mean, it's astounding. But before we do that, it's March, and it is March Madness, and Hooters Restaurants is my sports headquarters. And the Nuggets are bringing it on, and the Avs, they're dancing around a playoff spot, and Major League Baseball starts at the end of this week. So Hooters is the place to watch all the games. Wednesday is wing day, and all the wings you can eat for $14.99. They have these great smoked wings. They're delectable, only half the calories. And you can have Hooters wings delivered right to your front door. When I have the girls over on Wednesday nights, I have Hooters new smoked wings delivered to the door. The kids, or the girls, love them. And so order your Hooters wings to go, have them delivered right to your front door, or go to a Hooters to watch the great games. And more information, visit HootersColorado.com. That's HootersColorado.com. And let them know that you know the AmeriChicks. Now, when we come back, we've got Ben Martin in studio. We're going to be talking about the Federalist Papers. And we want to unwind this professor at CU Denver on this whole American political thought class. And I think maybe parents need to start to revisit whether or not they're going to send their kids to college, and I think that we need to start to shut down the money coming from the state legislature as well. So this is Kim Munson. We'll be right back.
All AmeriChicks sponsors are an exclusive partnership with the AmeriChicks and are not affiliated or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the AmeriChicks with Kim Munson and grow your business, contact Kim at AmeriChicks.com. That's AmeriChicks.com.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. Karen Levine believes in home ownership. As a Colorado representative to the National Board of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Since losing her mother to breast cancer, Karen Levine has helped organize a local fundraising event called Karen's for the Cure, raising money for breast cancer research. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by the AmeriChicks with Kim Munson. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516.
Dan Predovich and his team at Predovich & Company help your business plan ahead financially. The AmeriChicks with Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company as your financial business consultant. Predovich & Company will take care of your tax preparation, bookkeeping, and business advisory services. Dan Predovich and his team want to learn about the unique needs of your business through real, honest dialogue. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call 303-791-3000 to start preparing now for tax season. Organize your business finances with Predovich & Company. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Oh, I love that. Welcome to the AmeriChicks with Kim Munson, dissecting issues as right versus wrong instead of right versus left, agree or disagree. Let's have these conversations. Be sure and check out my website, AmeriChicks.com, and sign up for my emails. I'll keep you apprised of all the upcoming guest topics and important events. I am the AmeriChicks on Facebook and Twitter as well. Greatly appreciated if you will like and follow me. I'm offering you a conservatarian perspective. And as you listen to all of these different sponsors throughout my show, I know each of these people personally, and they are the reason that I am on the air, because I have the great freedom. I buy my airtime, which is great because I have editorial control over what we talk about. However, that means also that, I have to pay the bills, and so I find these great sponsors. And if you would like to be a sponsor, help support the show, I greatly appreciate it. But each one of these people I know personally and highly recommend them. So when you're thinking about doing some kind of business, I'd love it if you would check them out. So let's jump into Ben Martin. First of all, it's great to have you in studio with me.
I'm really happy to be here and always happy to talk about the Federalist Papers, but happy to be with you and Steve.
Yeah.
This morning.
And February was George Washington's birthday and Abraham Lincoln's birthday. We should actually have TV because you are sporting an Abraham Lincoln beard.
I've done a lot of Abraham Lincoln things this last month and this month, too. So, yeah.
Okay.
I'll be removing it pretty soon.
Pretty soon. Okay. Well, it's great to have you here. And I think this is just so interesting. Dr. Tom Kranewitter mentioned this to me last night, and I see this headline. And this is from the College Fix. It says, American Political Thought course at CU Denver removes all white men from the curriculum. And the professor is Chad Shimura, and he has, in his syllabus, he says, this course aims to develop an understanding of American political life from the margins. Rather than surveying traditional figures of American political thought, it attends to historically marginalized voices, and then it talks about all the intersectionality that they're trying to go through. The student that wrote this article is Anof Kalem, I believe. Sorry on the pronunciation on that. And he said his excitement about taking the course quickly soured when he realized that they were taking out all the achievements of white men. So that meant there would be no mention of George Washington or Thomas Jefferson or James Madison or Alexander Hamilton, not to mention Locke or Rousseau. None of that. That is absolutely astounding to me. So first thing, you know, we used to think that college was the place that kids could go to gain the skills, to get better jobs, to be able to, you know, have the tools to thrive and prosper, and to kick the tires on all these different ideas. And so when you start to basically censor part of that, and because of a political ideology or a political agenda that we see here, and then the other thing that's astounding to me is parents and families are paying big bucks to these professors to do this. We have this discussion all the time down at the State House about money for education. I think that we need to start to dry that up. Now, Steve, you look like you have something you want to say.
Yeah. Give me the title of this course again, please.
It is American Political Thought.
All right. I'm not a big fan of Star Trek and Spock and all that, but that is so illogical. How in the world can you flesh out a course curriculum without, you know, by just basically pushing history aside like that, or right, at least pushing a large part of it aside? So you use the word agenda, obviously.
Right. And, you know, okay, so let's talk about the Declaration of Independence. And in there they have the beautiful words that every individual has the inalienable right of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. They're not saying any descriptor. There's no intersectionality. Now, it took us a little while to get it all figured out, but it was astounding that this little, you know, these 13 colonies hanging on the eastern seaboard came up and they founded this country on an idea. and that all men are created equal. And when they say men, they mean mankind.
Yeah.
And so let's jump in here, Ben, because you have such a heart for all of this. And we have the Declaration of Independence, which was put in place by a bunch of old white guys. We have the Constitution that was put in place by a bunch of old white guys. Now, the Civil War, you know, there were a bunch of white guys on both sides that were fighting. You know, World War I, World War II, these generally were a bunch of white guys that were standing up against tyranny. This is so dishonest of what is happening at CU Denver here. And again, we need to start to pull the money back on this kind of stuff, because this is crazy. But we're going to go to the Federalist Papers. And give us a little history. We talked about this last month.
Okay.
But let's give a little bit of overview of the Federalist Papers.
Well, the Federalist Papers, as we talked about before, when we were, you know, we talk about those great principles, and I think those principles are timeless and universal, that come out of the Declaration of Independence, which is what we base the founding of our country on, and that was also the basis for the Constitution. But this is where we're fallible, you know, and that's really important. It has to be learned that our founders weren't perfect. They had imperfections. And when they first established their or declared our independence, then right away they were given the assignment to go do their constitutions for their states and then to come up with a constitution for the United States. And the first thing they came up with, and it was because of reaction, and it was because they weren't using proper reasoning. They had the right foundation, the right principles upon which to declare it, but they were so negative towards this tyrannical mm-hmm. government that they had from Great Britain, that they went in the opposite direction. You know, we talk about the pendulum swings, and so it went from all the way from this tyrannical government of Great Britain all the way to these Articles of Confederation, mm-hmm. which was probably the weakest. You know, they went from a really strong central government run by a monarch and a parliament all the way to this other one, which was this confederation, the Articles of Confederations, where there was our central government was so weak. So we went from strong central government to weak central government, and it collapsed on us. It almost collapsed. It almost caused us to lose everything that we had gained during the Revolution.
So in the Articles of Confederation, what, it was put in place for about 10 years, is that right?
Well, it came right after 76. They told them to start working on it, and by 77, they had written it. But it took until 1781 until they actually had ratified it. But during that time, they were still using it to govern our country. And it was all the states. It was centered on the states. Our Constitution is centered upon the people. You know, our Constitution works on the people and with the people. And the states are, you know, that's a part of federalism where they also share government with us.
Right, okay.
But it's all based upon the rights of the people and then the good of the common community. So we went from this one thing where it was all states and it was no central government. Our government couldn't get money from the states. It could beg for it. And that's why we almost lost. If it wouldn't have been for Benjamin Franklin and John Morris, we would have probably lost the Revolution. But because they got money, Benjamin Franklin got tremendous amounts of money and equipment from France that kept us in the war. And John Morris gave money to George Washington a few times in critical needs without that money, we wouldn't have had those victories and we probably wouldn't have won the war.
Right. And Washington, there were times where he wasn't even, they weren't, Congress was not even paying the soldiers.
They weren't paying the soldiers at all. And when the Battle of Trenton, which turned our whole fortunes around, we were about ready to lose, you know, the morale in the country and among the army was really bad. He wanted to make this great choice of a battle, you know, mm-hmm. choose a battle, surprise the British, and push them out of New Jersey. And the only way he could do that was have John Morris come with a bag of silver and give every man $10 in silver to keep them in the army, because they were going to leave the army right after the first of the year.
Right. Okay. And,
And so he couldn't do that. And people were leaving. And he came down with a bag of money, and he gave it to them from Philadelphia.
Isn't that astounding?
Gave it to the soldiers so they could do it. And the same thing happened in Yorktown. You know, George Washington and the French army and the American army were up in New York. And to get that army moved along the land from New York down, and he did it surreptitiously down to engage in the Battle of Yorktown, he had to have money because he didn't have any money to move them. He didn't have any money to feed the troops. And so John Morris again came and gave his personal money. And if you don't know, John Morris, after the Revolutionary War, he ended up in debtor's prison, probably one of the richest men in the colonies at the time. And he ended up in debtor's prison because the government never paid him back. The government never paid Benjamin Franklin back either. They didn't pay back a lot of people that they should have.
Okay. You know, we're going to go to break, and we're going to talk Federalist Papers, but I would like you to describe the Battle of Trenton just a bit, because that is such a fascinating battle.
I'd be happy to.
So we will talk about that. And then the Federalist Papers was put in place to make the case for the Constitution, and we're going to get to that as well. But before we do that, speaking of money and investing, clearly John Morris invested in America, but Jason McBride is somebody that helps you invest your nest egg. So Jason McBride, how are you doing this morning?
Hey, I'm doing good. Michael Avenatti's going to jail. It's a wonderful day.
That was quite a news day yesterday. We didn't even mention that. It was just unbelievable. So, yeah.
I figured you'd come in with another one bites the dust as your music. And, you know, maybe we'll just get one every day now.
You know what? That'd I see great. Steve's making notes on your music selection. That's awesome. So, but Jason McBride, some of the big indexes that people watch every day are the Dow, the S&P, and the NASDAQ. What's really the difference between these, and do they behave differently?
You know, that's a really good question, Kim. While most of the stocks tend to follow the general direction of the markets, the indexes are a bit different. The S&P 500 is 500 of the biggest U.S. companies. It's widely used as the measuring stick for the health of the markets overall. And then you've got the NASDAQ composite. That's over 3,300 companies. And it's always thought of kind of containing more high-growth names.
Okay, but what about the NASDAQ 100, and how's that different than just the NASDAQ?
Well, that's a good question, too, Kim. The NASDAQ 100 is 100 of very large non-financial companies, so you don't have any banks or financials in there. It's got a really large weighting to tech. And in fact, the top seven stocks in that 100-stock index make up half the weight of the whole thing. So you got Apple, Microsoft, Amazon, Google, right there's 40%. And then Facebook, Intel, and Cisco round up another 10%. So that brings us to half the total.
Wow. Okay. So when people invest in the fund for the NASDAQ 100, like the triple Qs, their fortunes pretty much depend on just a few stocks. The other 95 or so, like the B-sides on our old 45 records. That's dating ourselves, Jason. Oh,
well,
my gosh.
Well, I think we know who's listening to the show for the most part. They'll understand. And yeah, and that's a really good point. You know, a lot of the stocks in there are kind of like the B side with these big ones carrying all the weight. So that's a good point. One more index that doesn't get mentioned as often, which is the Russell 2000, and that's really diversified across 2,000 smaller, or what you would hear them say, small cap companies.
Okay, so but what makes the Dow unique? It seems like that's the main one that always gets all of the headlines.
Well, it does get top billing, and I guess seniority has its privileges, Kim, because the Dow's been around since 1896. And what makes it unique is all the other indexes we've mentioned are what are called capitalization weighted. So capitalization is the total number of shares a company has out multiplied by the current share price. So you remember a few months ago when the big news was that Apple was now a $1 trillion company? Yeah, they weren't talking about its sales or its assets. They were just talking about how much all the Apple shares in existence were worth at that moment because the price had gone up so much.
Okay, but the Dow is different.
It is. The Dow is unique in that it is a price-weighted index. It only has 30 stocks, and the stock with the highest share price gets the biggest weight in the Dow. So it could be a company that's much smaller, but they haven't split their stock, or their stock price just happens to be higher. So that one gets the most weight. It's more old school, too, as far as the companies. Yeah, I mean, you got Apple in there and a few other high techs, but you also get a lot of familiar names in there, like McDonald's, Caterpillar, Coca-Cola's in there, Disney, Walmart, those type.
Okay, so Apple is not the king of the hill in the Dow, then?
It's definitely not. The top three are Boeing, United Health, and 3M. Boeing shares are at $370 a share. United Health is a distant second at $247, and 3M's at $203. And Kim, Boeing makes up almost 10% wow. of the entire Dow. So if it has a bad day, the Dow's probably going to have a bad day as well. And that's why the last couple of weeks the Dow's been a little pukey compared to some of the other indexes, because Boeing's been having their trouble.
Sure.
You know, I would just finish up with saying a lot of people say it doesn't do any good to watch the Dow. It's only 30 stocks. I still think how 30 of the biggest companies in the world are doing does have some meaning.
Well, that seems to make a lot of sense, Jason. So I really appreciate these conversations. I think our listeners, I know I learn a lot from this. And so if you would like to have another set of eyes on your nest egg, Jason and the guys and gals over at Presidential Wealth Management would be able and very happy to help you with that. So check out chickspresidential.com. That's chickspresidential.com, or the phone number over there is 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. And we will talk to you soon, but are you going to take a few days off?
Yes, you'll have John Buckingham in for the next 3 days. So, you know, I'm sure he's going to do so good you probably won't want me back. And so it's been nice. It's been nice with you, the listeners, everybody. And, you know, I'll see you in the next life, maybe.
No, we will talk to you next Monday, okay, Jason McBride?
All right, Kim, have a good one.
Okay, you have a great day. So this is Kim Munson with the AmeriChicks. Ben Martin is in studio. We're talking about the Federalist Papers. We want to hear about the Battle of Trenton. I mean, it is absolutely fascinating, and you really bring it to life. So we will be right back with Ben Martin.
Thank you.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For over 30 years, entrepreneur, stylist, and AmeriChick Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best with well-priced, made-to-measure clothes that fit a busy lady's lifestyle. Gals, if you want to up your game and freshen your look, email Kim at AmeriChicks.com for your initial style consult. Kim at AmeriChicks.com.
Social media is important to the AmeriChicks, since it's an avenue we can utilize to hear from and speak to all of our friends. For those of you who enjoy listening to the show, we'd love to hear what's on your radar. Follow us and talk to us at AmeriChicks Twitter and Facebook pages. Also, if you're a business owner who could benefit from some extra foot traffic from like-minded friends, consider advertising on the AmeriChicks radio show. Contact us at AmeriChicks.com or email Kim at AmeriChicks.com.
You're pretty fast, Producer Steve. Oh, boy, showing off this morning. Hey, welcome back to the AmeriChicks with Kim Munson, dissecting the issues, the news, politics, and opinion as right versus wrong instead of right versus left. Agree or disagree, let's have a conversation and offering you a conservatarian perspective. Thrilled to have in studio with me Ben Martin, good friend, former Army Ranger, patriotic historian. You've done some classes. I took a couple of classes that just brought all these stories alive. And we want to talk about the story of Trenton. But before we did that, you just mentioned that you're like, I don't understand this professor at CU Denver taking out all reference to white. That seems really racist to me. To take out, because you are white, we can't talk about. I mean, that seems really racist. But anyway, you had a comment.
Well, I just said he's talking. You said the class's name is American Political Thought. When we talk about American political thought, we talk about this, what we're talking about right now. The Clinton Rossiter said that the Federalist Papers are the most important work in political science that has ever been written or is likely to ever be written in the United States. That was written by white guys. Well, you know, that's who we had most of the time, was running the government at that time. Mm-hmm. That's just the way things were. But these were some really impressive guys. And they wrote this thing called the Federalist Papers, which kind of explained mm-hmm. not only what the founders or the framers were thinking about when they wrote it and framed the Constitution, but what the people were thinking about when they ratified the Constitution. Our Constitution was ratified by everybody. And one of the great political quotes I think of in the Federalist, and we're not going to talk about it today, but it said, you know, that the important distinction between a government that has a constitution which is written, which is made by the people and not changeable by the government, and a law that's written by the government and changeable by the government, they said that important distinction is little known and less practiced in any other country but the United States of America. And, you know, we have all this innovation. In fact, we talk about it a little bit in this segment. We have all this innovation, this new science of government. And they talk about it in Federalist 9 that we're going to talk about a little bit here. And it lists all of those things, the separation of powers, the checks and balances, mm-hmm. the federal form of government, the federal republic. You know, those kind of things weren't mentioned there. In fact, they were kind of mentioned against by Montesquieu and all the other mm-hmm. political philosophers at the time. So this changed what government was, and it made government, like you said before, the people's power come from the creator. And then the people give certain powers to the government so that it can protect those rights that we get from the government, that we get from the God, from the Almighty, Providence. And so that is a complete different thinking that was going on at the time, and that gave us what we have today. The, you know, what was Calvin Coolidge said, this is the greatest political privilege ever granted to the human race, to live under the U.S. Constitution.
It truly, truly is, and it's so under assault right now because if we are sending our kids to universities, And I'm doing a lot on education, and had a guest on recently. She's written a book, What Parents Don't Know That Your Kids Don't Know. We are assuming that when they go to college and you hear American political thought, you're thinking that you're going to talk about the Declaration, the Constitution, you know, and
the Federalist
the Federalist Papers to kick the tires on these ideas, and to just take that all out because somebody with a certain race wrote it. It is astounding to me. And so, my friends, I think we need to start to revisit what we spend on higher education, because if you take a look at Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she has a degree from Boston University in economics,
yeah.
If you can believe it.
I can't.
And I don't know who paid for her education, but I think that they should get their money back. And so let's jump in here, though.
Okay.
A couple of things. The Federalist Papers that we are reading, this is Alexander Hamilton, James Madison, and John Jay wrote it.
Yeah.
But we're reading the Signet Classic. It's by the introductions by Charles Kessler and edited by Clinton Rossiter. And in it, the back, it has the Constitution, it has the Declaration, it actually has the Articles of Confederation. But the Constitution starts with "We the People."
We the People.
We the People, and that's so unique.
And that's a really unique copy of the Constitution because it has in parentheses in the sides the parts or the essays in this book, in the Federalist Papers, as to what applies to that part of the Constitution. It's a great tool. I mean, there's so many great tools in this book, and for only $5, you can't believe it. You know, this is a book that everyone should have in their library, and everyone should learn about this.
Well, that's why we're doing the show.
And, you know, what was said right after the Constitution was done, James Wilson gave a big speech right outside of the Independence Hall when he gave that. And one of the big points that he made was, he said, something cannot become an object of your heart until it first becomes an object of your mind. And that's the thing right now. It means you have to learn something, you have to know something before you can really love it.
Yeah.
And everybody should love our government, and if they knew what it was, if they read these things, if they read all the things that our founders did for us and the framers did for us. I mean, we are very privileged to be where we are today. I wish our government, I wish our legislatures, our representatives would read this thing too.
Well, and they take a vow to protect the Constitution, but man, we see people just tromping all over it right now. But, you know, we're Americans. And there is something unique about being an American. And this Battle of Trenton, when I took your class and you described the Battle of Trenton, I don't recall ever learning about that.
Well, it's a really important thing, and it was a very big turning point in our history, especially in the Revolutionary War. You know, we terribly lost the battle of Long Island in New York when all the British came over, 30,000 British come over, and attack us there. And it was a miracle that we escaped there. And so after Washington...
And it was a miracle of fog.
It was a miracle of providential fog, of wind, mm-hmm. of the ships, of it being so quiet and everybody doing things and nobody falling and making a noise that would alert the British that we were escaping. All of that happened, and the fog stayed late into the morning. Mm-hmm. The breeze kept it there, and the water was still. How did all this happen? But the British couldn't run their ships up because mm-hmm. the wind was blowing against them, and so they couldn't go up the river with them.
Very providential.
All of these things were unbelievable. And then they got out of there, and then they started this long trek through New Jersey, first at White Plains of New York, and then going all the way down. And so the whole way down, the British were pushing Washington, and he gets, you know, he keeps moving the guys around, and he sends forward General Greene to get the boats and everything ready at the Delaware River. So when he gets there, his troops all get in the boats, and they've collected the boats all along the river. So there are no other boats. He gets all his troops in there, and he escapes right before the British get there. And so he's on the other side of the river. He's on the Pennsylvania side. And so he's over there, and he's safe. And the British don't have any boats to get over and get him. And so he's pretty good. And then the British decide that they're going to occupy all of New Jersey, and they start occupying all along the place. And one of the big places is Trenton, which is the capital of New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And so the troops are there. They've been beaten all the way there. They think, the troops are getting ready to get out of their enlistment because of the first of the year. This is now December. It's wintertime.
Mm-hmm. And what year is this?
This is in 1776, but it's getting ready to turn to 1777.
Okay.
And all the recruits are leaving. All their enlistments are up. And that's when he calls upon his good friend, John Morris, to come and bring $10 worth of silver for every man to help them to reenlist. And he gives this passionate speech to them that, you know, everything depends upon you right now, and we can't quit now. We have to go forward. And so he
Some of them didn't have shoes.
They didn't have shoes
at all.
It was very cold. The river was full of ice, and it was a really treacherous crossing. He had four crossings planned that night, and he was the only one that got his troops across. And so they were one-fourth of the force that went across. He started crossing at midnight. Because of all the storms and winds and stuff like that, it took them a longer time to get their boats and the horses over. And so he started late. He started the march late, and they marched all through the night, and they got to Trenton in the morning. That was about 10 miles from where they crossed upriver to where they attacked. And so they attacked early in the morning, and it was the morning after Christmas. And so maybe everybody else was sleeping and had a little partying, although they swear that really didn't happen. You know, the German Hessians said that. But anyway, he attacked, and it was a great victory. He lost very few people. There wasn't anybody killed on the American side. We almost lost our coming up, our fifth president, James Monroe, was shot in the leg that night. And because James Monroe had been talking to the people around where he was in the Battle of Trenton, one of the doctors that was out there was a neighbor, came out and saved his life, stopped the bleeding in his leg and repaired him so that he could go on to finish the war and also be our fifth president.
Astounding. And one other thing I think you said in the class is that the Patriots, they didn't have shoes, that it was so cold, there was ice, that if in fact the British wanted to follow them, they could have followed the blood in the snow.
And Washington did see that. You know, he saw the blood in the snow, and he said that, you know, because they were wrapping rags around their feet. A lot of them didn't have pants. You know, their jackets were very threadbare that they were wearing. And I mean, it was just crazy, and they kept on fighting. And then they got back. They had this great victory. They captured almost 1,000 British. And they didn't treat them badly. The Hessians were afraid they were going to really treat them badly, the way they had been treating the Americans. And George Washington wouldn't let his soldiers do that. They kept them and they treated them as prisoners of war. They took them into prisons, and they didn't mistreat them when they were doing that.
Okay. Well, this is fascinating. We are going to get to the Federalist Papers in this next segment. Yes. We need to go to break. This is Kim Munson with the AmeriChicks. Ben Martin is in studio. And this last segment, we will focus a bit on the Federalist Papers. So stay tuned.
Work with mortgage professionals who will give you quick and accurate financial advice. Home Mortgage Alliance has the knowledge and expertise to explore the many financial options available to you. The mortgage process can be stressful, and as interest rates rise, it's more important than ever to get pre-qualified now so you're ready to buy. Call Kim Sturtz and Mark Cook with Home Mortgage Alliance to make sure that you're making the right financial choice for you and your family. 303-888-2732. Kim and Mark will remain available to you 24/7 to help you through the process. Choose the only mortgage professionals recommended by the AmeriChicks with Kim Munson. Call Kim and Mark with Home Mortgage Alliance today, 303-888-2732.
Okay, welcome back to the AmeriChicks with Kim Munson, where we are dissecting the issues, news, politics, and opinion as right versus wrong instead of right versus left. Agree or disagree, let's have a conversation. We're having a conversation about the Federalist Papers. I have my good friend Ben Martin in studio with me. And hopefully this is whetting your appetite that you'd like to learn more. And if you would like to do that, we are offering Vino and Veritas, a study of the Federalist Papers. And Vino and Veritas Castle Rock opens this Sunday night. So if you are interested in getting more information, go to AmeriChicks.com/Kim, fill out the form, and we will get that information to you. It always goes way too quickly when you're here, Ben Martin, so we're going to have you back again. But let's do talk a bit about the Federalist Papers. Last night, we went through Federalist 1 through 10. We're going to go through 14, but, you know, there's so much information there. So let's talk about 1 through 10.
Well, 1 through 14, that's the first segment. And when you look in number 1, he gives an introduction, and then he gives an outline of what the Federalist Papers are. Hamilton does this. And so the first segment is called, and there are actually six segments that he, as he breaks down his outline. And this is the first segment, 1 through 14, and that is called Utility of Union. The utility of our union. And so I'd just like to start it off. It says, so Federalist 1, Hamilton is welcoming his readers to one of the most significant deliberations in the history of the world. To prove something for a time, because it cannot be done, if it cannot be done here in America, then it cannot be done. And that's what he's talking about, self-government. So he starts this whole thing off, and the introductory passage is just fascinating, and I'd like to give that in verbatim here. It has been frequently remarked that it seems to have been reserved to the people of this country by their conduct and example to decide the important question, whether societies of men are really capable or not of establishing good government from reflection and choice, that's really important, or whether they are forever destined to depend for their political constitutions on accident and force. Now, that's just a fascinating way to introduce these things. And then he goes on to talk about the structure, the outline, the framework of where he's going to talk about all these things. And so he gives that, too. That's also in the first of these of these papers, and that's one of those that I showed you last time I was here about what were the most important ones. And so in this section, six of these 14 papers are actually the most important, some of the most important ones, the 22 important ones in the Federalist Papers. So it's really important. So we get that's one. And I'm going to try to go fast so we can touch on these. And then we go into number two, and it concerns dangers from foreign force and influence. So we're going to talk about that, and then we're going to talk about six, and that's more about, you know, we always talk about domestic problems, and so that's in number six, and this is in foreign forces. And it says, he starts this off, nothing is more certain than the indispensable necessity of government. And it is equally undeniable that whenever and however it is instituted, the people must cede to it some of their natural rights in order to vest it over with requisite powers. Now, that's right from where is that from? That's right from the Constitution. You know, it says, okay, we have rights that come from the government, and we give certain powers to the government. I mean, the rights come from God and our Creator, and then we give certain powers to the government as a people to constitute the government, and so that the government can protect our rights.
Got it. So it's right there. It's very symbiotic.
It's actually, these things are so connected. So it says, you know, it says these things. And I'm just trying to go through this really fast. So that's concerning dangers from foreign forces. And it says Americans, it talks about the blessings of our union. And in it, in Federalist 2, it says that Publius stresses that the Americans are already one united people, a people descended from the same ancestors, speaking the same language. You know, that professing the same religions, attached to the same principles of government, very similar in their manners and opinions. And it talks about how these are so important for us. And then at the back it says, a summary of this has taken place in our countries whose situations have borne the nearest semblance to our own. What reason can we have to confide in those reveries which would seduce us into an expectation of peace and cordiality between the members of present Confederacy in a state of separation? So he's given the big argument that we have, that the only way we can prosper is to stay together as a union.
And that's very relevant to today. With all the divisiveness that we have, we have this professor from CU Denver who is basically pushing divisiveness as not being honest about curriculum, and it is dividing us. And even here in the Federalist Papers, it talks about if we don't stay united, Lincoln also said we need to stay united. It's biblical, because a house divided against itself will fall. Yeah, go ahead.
So then we go, I'm going to switch over to number 9, because 9 and 10 you have to take together. And 9 was written by Hamilton and 10 was written by Madison. But boy, I mean, you cannot tell which writer is which, you know, because it just sounds like the same writer. And that was their intent, was that the people would know that there was one voice. It was Publius. And these are certainly a great example of it. So in number 9, Publius maintains that an improved science of politics provides a cure for the rapid succession of revolutions, which plague the petty republics of Greece and Italy. Because they keep looking back at history, you know, to show examples. They don't just come out of their mind.
What a novel idea, to look at history to see what was successful.
And what wasn't.
Imagine that.
And kept them perpetually vibrating between the extremes of tyranny and anarchy. You know, it goes back and forth, especially anarchists think that they'll overthrow the government and then it'll all be smooth. But when you overthrow the government with anarchy, tyranny comes next. You don't get liberty. And then he had to conquer Montesquieu in this, because Montesquieu was a person that all of our framers spoke most of, referred to when they were framing the Constitution. And Montesquieu had said, you know, a large republic cannot exist. It has to be a small republic or a small democracy. So he's saying, no, we can change this because we have come up with a new science of government. And he talks about those improvements in the science of politics. He mentions the doctrines of separation of powers, the legislative balances and checks, judicial independence, all of these things that we'll talk about later, and he'll talk about later in the Federalist. So legislative representation instead of a direct democracy. And
because a direct democracy basically is can be a mob.
Can be a mob. Mm-hmm. As we talk, as in, we'll talk about that in 55. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that again. What he says, okay, so, and he talks about the extended sphere as being the most important part of this new science of government. And what he's saying is if we extend the sphere, then we bring in more people, more sects, more ideas, you know, more philosophy, more interest. And he says when you do that, it's really hard for there to be a tyranny of the majority.
Wow. Okay. Well, hey, you know what? This has gone quickly. It always does. I hope you'll come back and let's talk some more about this.
I will, and we can go on to the next segment, but this is so important. And then 10 just goes on and it talks more about that, about faction, and about, because faction has always been the big boogaboo, and we figure out how to do it with this new form of government, this extension of the sphere, separation of powers, federalism, which we talk about in there, too.
Well, fantastic. So, Ben Martin, we will have you back. And James Madison, fourth president of the United States, said, we are right to take alarm at the first experiment upon our liberty. So this is Kim Munson today. Read great books. Think good thoughts. Listen to beautiful music. Communicate and listen well. Live honestly and authentically. Strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you. God bless America. Wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't serve.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.